Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Final game of October. It's already upon us, and the Sabres need to close it out with their first road win of this still reasonably young season. It's game 11 tonight with Marty and Brian. They've already dropped one in Boston. So the opportunity tonight is extend this run of points in 6 of the last 7 to make it points in 7 of 8. And get that first victory against Boston. What's your early outlook?
My early outlook is positive, encouraging. I think this will be a game where the Sabres are going to go into Boston and start well, finish well. I think what happened last game against Columbus, Columbus is a good team. Columbus is a really good team. And the fact that the first period went the way that it went was a little concerning because they had played so well in the first period of the previous games. But now I think they're going to put a stop to that, go in Boston, and put them away early. So that's my early outlook, positive, encouraging. And I'm going out on a limb here. That'll be like a 5-1 game. Sabres are going to win. They'll take a 3-0 lead at some point in the game. Like, that's how I see it.
Their start in Boston earlier this year was one of the more troublesome ones that prompted some very strong words from the coach. Tonight, he'll likely go with Alex Lyon based on how the limited morning skate, you know, presented itself. But also, and that in itself is something that we, did we ever discuss it on air or was it more off where I said, like, I would ride Lyon repeatedly?
I think it was on air yesterday. I think you said...
yesterday the debate was about Tage Thompson at center. So it definitely wasn't yesterday. But off air, I remember asking
you. Maybe it was Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, either way.
We were at the arena.
I would keep going with Lyon because there's no back-to-backs. But, and so that may well happen. But what will happen for the first time is Jordan Greenway gets back in. It's his first game of the season. He's coming off multiple surgeries. He missed a couple of months in season last year. And then came back only to miss the end of the season and obviously needed more work to get healed up mid-body. Will we see the Terminator version of Greenway from here on out?
He said he's been put back together like the Terminator. So, yeah, I think so. You know, I saw him at practice on Tuesday morning, the morning skate, and there was a big smile on his face, and I think he sensed that he was getting close and getting ready. And what I'm seeing out of the Sabres the last few games is Lindy Ruff really, really trusting the line that was Dunn, Krebs, and Malenstein to really get physical, to get some forecheck. So a player like Jordan Greenway is a physical presence, is a guy that can get on the forecheck. Now, you know, when you're dealing with core injury, Duffer, a lot of time that's going to affect your skating. That's going to affect your physicality. So that's why when Jordan Greenway is not 100% healthy, it affects his game. Mm-hmm. But if he's ready to go now, and listen, if he wasn't 100%, they'd wait. They wouldn't rush him to come back if he was not 100%. But now he's 100%. He's back in. I think we're going to see the best version of Jordan Greenway. And yes, it was surprising and a little disappointing that they said he had to get another surgery in the summertime to continue to fix what was ailing him. But I do feel this is going to be the best version of Jordan Greenway we're going to get. And I can see some crash, boom, bang in the game tonight.
There is a positive yet unexpected wrinkle to this conversation. In past times, his return would have prompted a discussion about a potential boost to the penalty kill.
Yes.
But the penalty kill is ranked number one in the league. So where does Greenway fit in this particular piece of the puzzle?
Well, I don't know that you necessarily have to force him into the penalty kill to start, right? You already know that McLeod and Tuck have been really killing. You can have Quinn, you can have Benson, you can have Malenstein out there, you can have Greenway. Maybe you're rotating three pairs of penalty killers as opposed to relying on maybe mostly two. And it also depends on how the game is being played. Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden, you know, you're not taking penalties and you don't have to worry about finding him the ice time, then don't worry about it. Now, if there's a lot of power plays and a lot of penalty kill and you feel like, hey, I'm losing some guys here, mm-hmm. then put him in that position. But I wouldn't force him. I think that your McLeod Tuck is your top penalty kill pair. And then after that, if you want to see if Greenway can fit in, well, put him out there once in a while, but I wouldn't really change the way that the rotation has been just to fit in a piece when something has gone so well.
With your confident statement off the top, what am I to believe you think of the Boston Bruins? Because they have won 2 of 3 after a very rough stretch, but even within the 2 of 3, they had a brutal night at the start of the week in Ottawa.
Yeah, well, they lost to the Ottawa Senators 7-2. They also lost to the Anaheim Ducks 7-5 earlier, like in that stretch. The way that I see the Boston Bruins go, and unfortunately, the Sabres were not scoring goals in the first three games of the year. They got one goal on Boston, losing 3-1. This is why I think that this is a team now that has found some offense, the Sabres. And Pittsburgh is a team that has given up a ton of goals. You know, when Ottawa came into Buffalo, Buffalo decided to explode. They got 8. It was like, go, go, go. I feel like the Boston Bruins are the same, maybe defensive vulnerabilities and deficiencies that maybe Ottawa's shown a little bit. It looks like we're going to get Jonas Korpisalo in net, not Jeremy Swayman. I think the Sabres are going to get their goals. And that's what I think of the Boston Bruins. It's not a good defensive team. Their group of defense is not good at all, in my opinion. That's like one of the reasons why I'm thinking they're not a good defensive team. When you're looking at McAvoy, yes, he's good. And Zadorov, physical. But I think that they struggle with the rest of their group. So for me, that's an issue.
Well, Hampus Lindholm did not play in the first meeting and Boston won. He is back after being in the lineup against the Islanders. He's played 4 games this year on the blue line after a very, very shortened season last year due to injury. Bruins are 3-1 with Hampus Lindholm in the lineup. And Elias, by the way, Lindholm is off to a good start along with
yes.
Dean Pastrnak and company. So it's interesting because you're still in this stage where it's not enough games played for most teams in the NHL to have a super strong opinion about what they are. And the fact of the matter is, you know, there's not a lot separating most teams in the Eastern Conference. So no. I'm a little surprised at your statement, and expectations.
Well, this is maybe wishful thinking. That's what I want to see. Like, I'm not going to say if they go out and win 2-1, I'm not going to be disappointed. Right. If they have to go to overtime, win 3-2, I'm not going to be disappointed. I want to see a Sabres team, after what happened Saturday against the Toronto Maple Leafs, up 3-2, give up a goal, and then losing in overtime. What happened against Columbus, 3-2, give up a late goal, overtime again. Mm-hmm. I want to see a team that's going to kick themselves in the rear end and say, you know what? We're not going to let that linger. We're going to make a point here of how we want to play, how we can play, and what we're going to do. And in a team that's a vulnerable team, the Boston Bruins. So that's my wishful thinking in the way that I see that one.
Well, do you make anything of the fact that in this home-heavy October that Buffalo is 0-3 on the road so far?
No.
Like the games were in Boston and Montreal and in Toronto.
Yeah.
And obviously, and from a divisional standpoint, you would like to have secured more points than just the one.
Yeah. And I felt like the Sabres were there and all of them, like, you know, Boston was 3-1. It was really a 2-1 game. Montreal, you know, it was a 3-2 game. You get yourself back in the game. So I feel like they were in all of those games. But again, that comes down to, like, having that mentality of, you know, we're not going to let games slip away when we have it in our hands, and we're going to fight to get back in the games. And look, do I think that in all of those three games, the Sabres could have won all three of them? Yes. But the way that it played out, you're not always going to, you're not going to go 82-0. You're not going to go 41-0 on the road. But if you only win one of them, if you go into Boston and win one, or in Toronto and win one, or if you get back in the game and go and win it in OT in Montreal, then all of a sudden you're 1-2 on the road with a chance to go 500 on the road tonight. Like, it's a big difference. I feel like that was, I'm encouraged. And I went and got my hair cut today. You know, I've talked to the barber. He's like, he was at the Florida game. He's like, that was fun. I love that. Like, I feel like the games are fun. There's a lot of energy. You know, what we saw against Columbus the other night, Bills night, Tuesday night, it was fun. I am encouraged with the way this team is going after an 0-3 start that saw them only score 2 goals. And I look at those three games on the road, Boston, Montreal, Toronto, and I'm like, oh, I wanted one of them, at least, maybe two. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I want to go into that locker room tonight and just give them my sense of positivity and go, let's go. Like, this is November's around the corner. That's when you have to make that first stride forward into a, like you said, an Eastern Conference, especially an Atlantic Division, that's all over the place.
And with Greenway coming back in tonight, Coach Lindy Ruff did mention that Noah Oslin will, head back to Rochester.
Yes.
We'll have more on the Amerks coming up. That was part of the discussion yesterday when it pertained to, you know, center ice position. it's worth reestablishing that, you know, the group is without Josh Norris, Tyson Kozak, and center/winger Justin Danforth. So it really has changed the options for the position since the start of the season. So I think it's reasonable, as we suggested yesterday, to assume that Peyton Krebs is going to get more minutes at center than just what we have seen him in his role. And again,
He's performed really well. Like, he's performed well, Krebs.
Yeah, I mean,
his job.
Yes, but I think even like most players, the media asks about them. Like, Ruff has been asked about more from Krebs potentially this year. And it ebbs and flows. Like, some games, yes, some games, no. And that's just the nature of 82 games, right? I still think there's more to give offensively from Krebs.
Well, that's the thing. When you get 3 points and 0 goals in 10 games, you need to produce. You need to find the back of the net.
But he's not necessarily expected to in a fourth-line role, but if he moves up a little bit, again, this is the trickle-down from Norris not being there and why you discussed all the potential possibilities yesterday, which may or may not happen. Those are in-game adjustments. We just know this. They need to have a way better start in Boston than they did the first time there, and they need to have a better start than what they had against Columbus on Bills night. So it's a good week for trying to accumulate points. You try to jump on the Bruins tonight And you try to have a big night here on Saturday on Hockey Fights Cancer Night. So you look at the schedule, it's Washington coming in to close out the week. It'll be the first game in the month of November. And then obviously we'll be talking a lot about Hockey Fights Cancer Night that particular night. It's Saturday at KeyBank Center, and you know, it's our favorite night, you know, certainly early season, but in general.
Yes.
You know, so scan the QR code on the screen. Look forward to getting down to KeyBank Center for Hockey Fights Cancer Night, sabres.com/HFC. Scarves, of course, adorn the seats when you walk in. And yeah, it's just, it's a different feel, and it's incredibly meaningful each and every time we go through this with our good friends at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center.
Normally, Duffer, I would say to the people, armies at Canisius, go support college hockey in Buffalo. But it's Saturday night at 7 o'clock. At the same time, we have a Hockey Fights Cancer. So I'm going to say, come support us at the arena with Hockey Fights Cancer and listen and hear the stories that are going to be told, or catch it on MSG, because it's always one of those broadcasts where we have special guests and great guests, and it's going to be fun. But if somehow you want to go see West Point Black Knights play at Canisius on Saturday, well, go there as well. It's at Lecom Harbor Center.
Have they announced a starting goalie?
No, not yet. So depending on what happens Saturday night, I may be with you momentarily or for the whole night. Who knows? No, I'm going to be at the arena. I'll have my computer on and watching the college game as well.
So tonight is, you know, like the long-standing rivalry between Buffalo and Boston. Our poll on X caters to those of you who have found disdain in certain members of the black and gold over the course of time. So, Marty, lead us in here on your most hated Bruin of all time.
Okay, so most hated Bruin of all time. The poll is basically simple. It's Brad Marchand, Milan Lucic, Zdeno Chara, or others. And others, you reply who you want. Milan Lucic is leading the way. I voted for Milan Lucic. And most people would say, well, obviously, the Ryan Miller incident and everything. I hated Milan Lucic before that, and I wasn't even here in Buffalo when that happened, and I hated Milan Lucic after that. I remember covering a Montreal Bruins series that was 2014, I believe, and Milan Lucic scored an empty net goal from center ice and skated all the way down, pumping his chest, and then he jumped in the glass. It's an empty net goal, man. And I made the point. I was with Dreger and Ryan Rashad after the game, and I'm like he just added so much more fuel to the fire that Montreal is going to want. And sure enough, Montreal ended up winning that series in seven in Boston. Mm-hmm. But, and I remember walking into Montreal a couple of days later, and Sean Thornton walked up to me and he goes, oh, you're pumping your chest on TV now? You're pumping, like, with Lucic? And I'm like, Thorts, it's entertainment. But man, do I hate this guy. I hate that guy. And so anyway, so Milan Lucic is my number one. He's actually leading the way right now, like almost 70% of the votes. Now, I'll say this. There's a big generation gap as to this group of Chara, Marchand, and Lucic, and then others from the 80s and maybe even 70s. So Duffer, who's your most hated?
I need to see the graphic once again for just how this poll is going. Because you know me, I tend to look at things sideways.
Like you had the side horn the other day.
And if you look at this one sideways. I think it's very appropriate who we're pointing out as the most hated Bruin of all time. And I'll leave it at that.
It's a bird. It's the bird. The bird's the word. It looks like a bird.
This is amazing.
But we're getting some great response in the chat. And John here says Brad Park for scoring that overtime goal. That's 1983 game seven. Uh-huh. What a series that was. You know, Sabres. What's that?
93 was better.
10 years later, that was May Day. But when you look at 83, you know, the Sabres take a 1-0 lead. They win game one. But it went like Sabres, Boston, Sabres, yeah. Boston. Then Boston took a 3-2 series lead and a 9-0 win game five. And mm-hmm. the Sabres came back in game six just to lose an OT in game seven. And Brad Park, yes, I can see how a lot of people that generation would hate Brad Park for that game seven goal in the second round of the playoffs.
But all those years later, not only Mayday, but the Sabres' last trip to the Stanley Cup final in 1999, they beat Byron Defoe and the Bruins, you know, on route to the final there. It's almost a forgotten series based on, obviously, everything that transpired from yeah. losing in the final to Dallas, but having beaten Toronto to get there, right? Like there was, the Bruins stuff was just kind of like, okay, cool. And they moved on. But obviously that was a significant step in that direction.
So. I totally appreciate the Sabres winning against Boston that year, but I hated what happened after that because Boston had about four or five guys that they loaned to Providence after losing in the playoffs. And we played Providence in the Calder Cup final, and they had Landon Wilson and Cameron Mann and Aaron Downey, and like they had all those guys back from Boston, and they beat us in five. So, yes. So I hate the Boston Bruins for that. Like, how about you just send them to Cancun and leave your team alone? Like, we mm-hmm. would have been fine playing without those guys.
You know what I hate?
What?
Trying to watch an AHL broadcast from Belleville. It remains the worst feed of all time based on camera positions and lack of following the play. So it was not an easy watch of the Amerks last night, but it was made much easier by the fact they dominated from the, look at this beautiful high wide camera where you can't tell a single player on the ice.
This is like live barn when people that watch youth hockey know what live barn is.
First 10 minutes of the game were shot from the upper corner of a rink through a doorbell cam. It was awful. Anyway, that's my rant for the day. And he's Zach Rozan had a multi-point game in front of Devon Levi. Rozan leads the AHL in scoring with 12 points in eight games. Levi wins again. And the group is 6-2 as they get set for back-to-back games in Laval Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, and that's a good start for Devon Levi. Obviously, he's 4-0, 920 save percentage. And this is what you wanted to see out of him. There's still parts of his game that he's working on, but he seems a little bit more under control, mm-hmm. Which is good. And that's what is going to help him take a step. And now, look, they've got him. They got Tobias Lennonen. They got Georgiev. But they've found a way to give Levi a little bit more playing time now after mm-hmm. Luukkonen went down and played a game to get him going. He's the priority in his development and seeing where that goes. I still say this to this day, 1999, I was sent back down to Rochester, and I was not happy. And I'm sure Levi was not happy to see Georgiev sign and to see them pick up Colton Ellis and all of that. But at the same time, it's okay. What can you do with the opportunity that you're presented to yourself? I went down and started 6-0. Hasek got hurt. I was in Buffalo. That's not what I want for the Sabres, but for Levi, continue to play that way mm-hmm. and prove to the Sabres that, well, they're going to have to make decisions down the road into next year because you're going to have to go on waivers next year if they don't want to keep you in Buffalo.
Darren Dreger coming up at the bottom of the hour, hockey insider from TSN, around the NHL from last night, real quick, because it was a one and done, especially emphasizing the final word of that. As it pertained to the Maple Leafs, a rout by the Jackets over Toronto on their home ice, having won here in Buffalo the night before. And the Jackets have won 5 out of 6, a 6-3 win that was closer than actual fact. Toronto scored twice late to make it a 6-3 game. So tough finish for Elvis Merzlikins. They were on cruise control and they give up a couple late. But it does lead us into your dazzled and disturbed.
Yeah, I'll say dazzled and disturbed. So dazzled for me, despite the loss for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and maybe it's easier to bring that up, is John Tavares scoring his 500 NHL goal. I mean, 500 goals is such an achievement. And I remember playing with John Tavares as a first-year player, first overall pick with the New York Islanders. And everybody's like, I don't know, you know, he's got great hands, but he doesn't have the foot speed. And what is that going to be like for a career? Well, not only does he have 500 goals, he has 500 points with two franchises. Only four players have had 500 points with two different franchises. So, yeah, John Tavares, 500 goal. There's not a lot going on with the Toronto Maple Leafs, but I'll say this. JT's still going, and he's got that competitive fire like his uncle, which we've seen with the Bandits for many championships.
I'm actually shocked that you picked this. I understand why, but a milestone moment could not be any more underwhelming than doing it when you're getting trashed 6-1. Do you know what I thought of when I saw him score? I thought when Mark Pesek scored his first NHL goal finally on home ice, and I think the score was about 8-3 at that time in favor of the New York Rangers.
Yeah. Now, remember Jeremy Roenick's 500 goal? It was a dump in off the dash.
That's a win.
It was a win. He got a star, but yeah. That was his 500 goal. Like he was celebrating like, yeah, 500 goals. The guy dumped it in off a dasher and it went into the net while the goalie was behind. It happens though, but it's still a milestone, and that's why I picked it. But I get what you're saying.
Anything real quick for Disturbed?
Goaltending with the Leafs. I mean, that was Caden Primo, but man.
Yeah, but Joe Wall's coming back soon. So
Joe Wall's coming back, but Anthony Stolarz hasn't been great. And the amount of turnovers that the Leafs had last night. Like, this is a team that's been called out by their goalie. Anthony Stolar called him out. Then it was the coach that called him out. And now, like, who else is going to call him out? Maybe they were in the locker room watching the Jays, but the turnovers were bad. So that was disturbed, which I'm okay with. More disturbance up north in Toronto, the better it is.
Some blatant disrespect being shown to Charlie Coyle and Matthew Olivier for their four-point nights, not even qualifying as dazzling in your eyes. Sabres fans.
Olivier cross-checked, I don't remember who it was for the Leafs, in the neutral zone and send them out. Like, I think that Good Morning Football may give Olivier an angry run, vote for that. He literally went, and it wasn't a penalty. It was more of a body slam, like, get out of the way, and it led to a rush goal. It was incredible.
Sabres, as mentioned, are back home on Saturday for Hockey Fights Cancer Night, and we want you to find the matchups that work best for you and build out your five-game pack today. Enjoy savings on single-game pricing, priority access to playoff tickets, and the flexibility to bundle your favorite games. Visit sabres.com/5 to purchase yours today. Darren Dreger from TSN is next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres Road Crew is back. We can't wait for this one. It's Nashville. It's an encore from previous years in Nashville, and it's going to be worth it, folks. You need to get down here for January the 19th. Now, that is a holiday Monday afternoon, and that's when we're having the Road Crew party. It's an afternoon watch party with fellow alumni, broadcasters. Sabres are going to be playing in Carolina that day. It's an afternoon game starting at 12:30 in Nashville. So we're going to enjoy the afternoon. And then the very next night, of course, the Sabres are visiting the Predators. So it's a great trip for the hockey lover, the party lover, in all of us, quite frankly. So check it out, sabres.com/roadcrew. Marty and I have it in Sharpie already on the calendars.
Dregs should join us. 100% Darren Dreger should join us in Nashville in January. Dregs, you were in the Stanley Cup final, Nashville, Pittsburgh, and you enjoyed a little patio on Tootsie's. You guys had the panel up there.
It was fantastic. The outdoor patio overlooking Bridgestone. We had the three high stools sitting up there. Now it was hot. That time of year, it was warm out there. But the hospitality in Nashville is second to none. But you have to do it in short spurts, right? So you guys are only going to be there for what'd you say, like an afternoon?
Three days.
Oh, okay.
Well, we got 3 days, dude.
That's debauchery. That's what that's setting up. That's what that's setting up for. Nah, it's a great city. My buddies and I were just planning this the other day, not necessarily planning another trip to Nashville, but talking about how they've never been. I'm like, oh, you gotta go. I mean, it's just one of those stops on the sports circuit, not just hockey, the sports template that you should visit. It's a great town.
Marty, you want to hit him with Blue Jays?
Yeah, I'll start very easy. Going as far as possible as Nashville, we'll go to the Calgary Flames. It's not going well in Calgary. And after last year, 96 points, but not making the playoffs. What is happening? We talked Rasmus Anderson the last time we had you on, but I think the big name now is Nazem Kadri. Like, what's going on with Kadri? Could he be on the move? Because team's looking for a depth centerpiece. Could very well be in the market.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about supply and demand, and that's why the speculation is running as rampant as it is around the Calgary Flames and Nazem Kadri. And then you join the two, the fact that the Flames haven't played well enough, they're not doing well enough, and they've got these assets. So what direction is the organization going to go? If you want to look at the bigger picture and say, well, why wouldn't they put themselves in the best position possible for Gavin McKenna or a high draft pick? Okay, well, then at some point this year, you've got to move Rasmus Anderson, and you have to consider trading Nazem Kadri and some of the other pieces around that organization. I just think it's too early for any of that. You know, Naz wants to stay in Calgary, his term remaining on his contract. You know, you can appreciate why the Vancouver Canucks would have interest. They've been looking for a two center for a couple of years. Likewise for the Montreal Canadiens, I'm sure Brad Treliving would love to bring Kadri back to Toronto. That's the most unlikely of the three scenarios that I've just described from a Canadian perspective. But until Craig Conroy, you know, goes to Nazem Kadri and says, hey, the direction of this team is such where we're looking at the draft in June. You know, are you willing if we actively pursue the idea of trade? And that's not going to happen anytime soon. And look, you know, Kadri's on the cusp of his 1,000th NHL game. Mm-hmm. Everyone around Nazem wants to respect that milestone. But if Calgary is still floundering around Christmas, you know, then I think that the speculation turns real and the considerations of a trade also become real.
Sabres and Bruins tonight, and Buffalo's 4-1-2 in their last seven. The Bruins have 2 wins in their last three. It's been very up and down for them. Anything new on the front of either of these teams? Obviously, from Buffalo's standpoint, people are always looking at Alex Tuch.
Yeah, not really. Ongoing conversation. And I know that that sounds like, you know, just simple lip service. That's what it sounds like. But that's the reality of where they're at. And that cuts both ways. You know, there's still a mutual interest in getting something done, but that can change, right? And if the numbers don't add up for Alex Tuch and his side, meaning it's not the perfect fit financially or term-wise, well, then why wouldn't Alex Tuch wait? But that doesn't have to be ominous. You know, that can change very, very quickly. It really can. You know, as I'm talking, I'm thinking about the conversation I had with Annie Scott, who represents Thomas Harley, earlier this week, just prior to Harley getting that big extension, right? Mm-hmm. And they've been talking for a length of time, and then talks picked up probably 2 weeks ago. And then I think it was like the morning of, maybe Tuesday or Monday morning, where the Dallas Stars reached out and said, okay, we're ready to get this deal done, and they closed the gap. Well, maybe that happens between Buffalo and Alex Tuch, but they're not there yet. They're not. I think that everybody wants to let the season breathe a little bit because there's been a lot of positive around the Buffalo Sabres. It's a tough season to start. Look around the league. It's some of these teams that are struggling mightily, and you're looking at the standings and going, okay, well, I want to fast forward 15, 20 games and look at the standings again. Mm-hmm. But you can't just focus on the negative. You got to look at the positive. And Buffalo, for me, is one of those positive storylines at this point of the regular season. So I think in doing that, you build a little bit more patience into certain conversations and negotiations.
But what about Pavel Zacha with Boston?
Boston? Anything from the Boston side?
Yeah, what about Zacha?
Yeah. So I think everybody can appreciate why you fixate on certain teams. We just talked about Kadri and the Calgary Flames. Well, if Calgary's off to a good start, we're not talking about the possibility of Craig Conroy moving, you know, arguably his top center. And Zach is a little bit more curious for me because he's a centerman, and Marco Sturm on a lot of games has him playing on the wing. And he doesn't look happy about that. And I think that in part, when you then revisit history, like teams call on players all the time at varying points of a 12-month year. Hey, would you consider moving this guy? Now, we know that Don Sweeney of the Bruins had conversations with at least one club, maybe more. And those clubs asked about the potential availability of Pavel Zacha. All right. So now we're revisiting something that happened months ago. But that doesn't mean that Sweeney has this guy on the block. It's just because the Boston Bruins, yet again, are floundering. And people are going, okay, well, they've got to do something. You know, they tried one more time to plug holes in the offseason with pieces that they brought in with some experience. And it just doesn't seem to be working. So I think that's where most of that Boston speculation targeting Pavel Zacha comes from.
So the Colorado Avalanche have Cale Makar can sign an extension on July 1 next year. Marty Natchez can sign an extension in January 1st because he's a UFA next summer. And now, you know, you mentioned Thomas Harley signing his deal. Logan Cooley signed his deal as well, 8x10. So is there a lot of business that Colorado is trying to get done or at least get ahead of to make sure that, you know, their main guys are going to be part of this team for a while?
Right. And I think you're talking about Marty Natchez, obviously, right? Yeah. And It's a problem in Colorado because you do have Cale Makar looming. And nobody is going to step in front of Cale Makar. I mean, how can you? And then you're slapped in the face with the reality of what the Colorado Avalanche felt like they had to do with Mika Rantanen, right? And it's not like there was a breakdown in that negotiation. It just didn't really move too far along because Calgary knew, okay, well, we're not that far away from having to extend Cale, and that's going to be our big ticket guy. Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon. The Avalanche, more or less, are a budget team. You know, as the cap goes up, I don't think Colorado is going to be a cap team moving forward, which is a little bit of a head scratch, but that's their prerogative. So where does Marty Natchez fit into all of this? And is he willing to, you know, embrace the idea of a culture extension? And you know what that means, right? You leave a little bit on the table so that you can get the next guy done and the next guy. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. You know, Kaprizov wasn't willing to do that with the Minnesota Wild. So why is there a guarantee Natchez is going to do it in Colorado? And I'm not being critical. I mean, that's entirely up to the individual player and how he sees his fit and what he sees his worth to be. But it's a bit more complicated in Colorado than with a lot of clubs.
You think Natchez is a $10 million player, though, plus? Duffer, what do you think?
I do. I think he is. Yeah.
In today's world, sure.
I do. Yeah. Okay. Because here, you know, I'll be quick when I talk about this. You just mentioned Logan Cooley. We talked about Harley. You've got Lane Hutson. All of these long-term deals. But even though you're looking at Logan Cooley and you're going $10 million, and then you're looking at Thomas Harley at a shade under 10.6, yeah, the math shows that these young guys get their money early in their contract, big money early in the contract. But who's to say by year four, maybe year five of that deal, Thomas Harley is an incredible bargain with the salary cap elevating. I mean, that has to be the thinking in Dallas. That has to be the thinking in Utah. And frankly, I think the Montreal Canadiens got Lane Hutson an absolute steal of a bargain. Yeah. So it's all cap related in some way, shape, or form.
Well, just like the Bruins did with Morgan Geeky this summer. Like it's a home run deal for sure. here's one for you.
Uh-oh.
Alex Steen still planning, interested in taking over as GM of the Blues or getting cold feet?
I don't.
No, I forfeit my candidature and I'm moving on to something else.
Yeah. Well, what I would say is, Doug Armstrong is never afraid to take the bat off his shoulder.
Right.
Ever. And what's going to happen in the near future if the St. Louis Blues don't right the ship is he's going in there swinging. And we're not that far removed from the last time he felt like he had to do that. It was a year or two ago. We went into the dressing room and literally said, I don't care what your contract says. No move, no trade, whatever. I'm going to figure it out. You're going to get platooned out of here, or you're the buddy sitting next to you in this dressing room is getting punted out of here. We're not going to sit back and continue to invest in experience if you guys aren't going to pull your weight. I mean, that's just a general manager who gets business done. So that message is probably going to happen before Alex Steen needs to worry about it.
What's and just because I want to bring a little bit of a spotlight in maybe a negative way in Toronto because I got my Jays hat, everything's good. But, you know, we were there, Duffer and I, Saturday night and saw Craig Berube talk to the media. And that was just a few days after Anthony Stolarz called out his teammates and Berube called out his teammates. And then they lose to Columbus in a bad way last night. Do you anticipate some shaking up, some moves maybe coming out of Toronto as they try to get out of this downward spiral a little bit?
Well, some of it could happen internally here, Marty, right? They've got Scotty Lawton, who's not that far away from returning. Could be as early as this weekend. That might be a stretch. If not, early next week. You know, he'll help. But then they've got to make a roster decision, right? Are they going to waive somebody? Are they going to send the rookie Easton Cowan to the Toronto Marlies? You know, they've got David Kampf, who's in the American League right now. And then a big question mark is in goal. You know, not to pile on Caden Primo, but that level of goaltending against Columbus Blue Jackets just wasn't good enough. And they were poor defensively. But by and large, they felt like they played pretty well. I don't know. Maybe I was watching a different game, you know, but they felt like they were playing pretty well. They could be spinning it. trying to stay under the umbrella of the Toronto Blue Jays, because once the World Series is over, you guys are very familiar with the Toronto market. Once the Blue Jays have hoisted that trophy, then the spotlight shifts back to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the fan base may not like what they see, but I do think that there's some internal help. Joe Wall is around the corner, as I mentioned, Scotty Lawton, so maybe they get some help there.
Well, I predicted Blue Jays in six. Marty picked the Dodgers. Who did you pick?
I picked the Blue Jays just because I allow myself to be a fan at certain times of the year. And obviously with the Canadian team here in the World Series, I'd go that way. I'd like it to get done in six because seven, I don't know. I don't think I could handle game seven. The way they played game five, I'm with you, Duffer. The way they played game five, I think they win game six.
Thank you, Mr. Dreger.
Okay, guys, have a good one.
Our hockey insider from TSN. He's not the youngest fan, but we're focusing on young Sabres fans right now and who might enjoy exclusive ticket offers, fun gifts, and special event invites. You can sign them up now for the Sabres Kids Club. Visit sabres.com/kidsclub to join in on all the fun this season. A wrap to Sabres.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Live and our poll question, most hated Bruin for you.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We want your kids' hockey journey to start here. Our Learn to Play program includes a full set of gear, 6 weeks of instruction, and a ticket voucher presented by WellNow Urgent Care. No experience needed. Upgrade to Team Tuck, if you will, and your child can skate at KeyBank Center with Alex Tuck. Register now at sabres.com/learn to play. Marty, the poll results on most hated Bruin from our Sabre fan base.
Milan Lucic is running away with it, and obviously I get it. Like, he hit Ryan Miller that one game, and everybody hated Lucic, but I hated Lucic because he was just an... Did I ever tell you we ran into him at the movie theater in Boston right next to the hotel? And he was such a mean mugging type of guy. Like, I'm like, you're not even on the ice and you're mean mugging all of us. Like, go, go. I was ready to fight him in the movie theater.
Opposite of the franchise, Gilbert Perreault, Lady Bing winner, gentlemanly player, outstanding, Hall of Famer, league history, revered, respected, and now with a beautiful touch in his hometown of Victoriaville. This is really nice to see Gilbert Perreault being honored with a statue there.
It is so cool. And obviously, Victoriaville is a really great hockey market. They have the Quebec Maritimes Junior Hockey League team there, the Victoriaville Tigre. And Gilbert's such an ambassador for hockey everywhere he goes. But this is a town that they love supporting their hockey and knowing that that's where he is and that's where he's from. And so this is fantastic, a nice bronze statue. And I love that Gilbert's out there doing these things because, you know, he lost his wife a couple of years back, and, you know, that it's hard. But he's out there, and he was just in Buffalo not too long ago. I got to see him, so that's fantastic.
He would have eaten up the earlier versions of the Ottawa Senators, that we know for sure. He probably would have had a half dozen points in this particular game, which falls today, anniversary of Buffalo facing the Sens. Just 10 games into their existence, and a 12-3 win against Steve Weeks.
Against Steve Weeks, yes. And it was funny because it was Dominic Hasek in net for the Buffalo Sabres, a goalie tandem of Hasek and Darren Pupa. And the Ottawa Senators had Steve Weeks and Peter Sudorkowicz. But they did have a game the next night on Halloween night in Ottawa. So it was a back-to-back, and Steve Weeks gave up 11 goals. And they changed goalies 10 minutes left in the third because they were probably hoping that they could save Sudorkowicz for the next night, which ended up being a 2-2 tie the next night. But yes, what a game. Dave Vanderchuk had himself, there was a couple. Dale Hawerchuk had 4 points, Pat LaFontaine 5. So there was a lot of point nights that night.
Happy birthday, former Sabres Tyson Strachan, Chris Stewart, Dennis Gilbert, Drew Stafford, and current Sabre Tage Thompson, who's 28. How many does he get tonight on his birthday against Boston?
Well, I was big about him against Columbus on Tuesday. I'm going to say he gets 1-1 tonight. I think that Josh Doan will get 1-1 as well.
I think Alex Tuck is always the choice to make when you're looking for an anytime goal scorer against the Boston Bruins. We, of course, look forward to seeing you for pregame coverage of tonight's Boston-Buffalo matchup, 6:30 on MSG, and we'll see you tomorrow on Sabres Live.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.